The National Post is reporting that the Liberal government has decided to buy fighter jets. Not the infamous F-35s, but a fighter jet called the Super Hornet as an interim measure. Here's some of Question Period. In the House yesterday, you'll hear the voices of Tory MP James Bazan and a rebuttal from Liberal John McKay.
Mr. Speaker, from helicopters to submarines and now to fighter jets, the legacy of the Liberals is to buy old and make do. The Liberals have made up their mind to buy the Super Hornet and now are working on the right narrative to support it. Let's be perfectly clear. The Liberals are only sole sourcing the Super Hornets to fulfill an ill-advised political campaign promise.
The Honourable Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister of National Defence.
Mr. Speaker, the government is committed to a well-equipped and modern Air Force. Unfortunately, the last 5 years has been a bit of a loss. And as a consequence, there is a developing capability gap which needs to be managed. We have obligations to NATO, we have obligations to NORAD, we have obligations to our own defence and to expeditionary matters. Accordingly, Mr. Speaker, we are proceeding forward on this matter, and we will be moving towards a decision soon.
That's from Question Period yesterday. Stephen Fuhr is the Liberal Member of Parliament for Kelowna Lake Country. He's the chair of the Standing Committee on National Defence and is himself a former fighter pilot with the Royal Canadian Air Force. We've reached him in Ottawa. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
What can you tell us about this reported government plan to purchase Super Hornets?
Well, I can tell you that no decision's been made. I can tell you a lot of it was speculation. I can tell you that the government is interested in moving quickly on this decision. It's something that needs to happen quickly. I mean, we had done CF-18 modernization with the expectation that we would start taking delivery of whatever it is we were going to purchase in 2017. That's next year. And we're nowhere near that. So the decision to act is the right thing to do to avoid an operational capability gap in the future, which will certainly occur if we don't move on this now.
That operational service gap, can you describe what that gap is and why it's important to fill that gap? Just for laymen watching this, what does that mean?
That means that we need, obviously when we wind down a capability or a platform and then bring in a new one, that, you know, winding the old thing down and bringing the new thing in, they should meet. So, I mean, obviously if we wound down the CF-18 and we didn't have anything to replace it with and we didn't start that till too late in the process, and that gap's too big, then if, you know, the phone rings and NATO needs something or NORAD needs something, we wouldn't necessarily be able to react because we didn't do a good job of managing the wind down of the old and the bringing in of the new, essentially, is what that means.
Hypothetically, how would a purchase of Super Hornets as an interim measure fill that gap?
Well, I mean, again, no decision's been made, but the reality is that airplane works very well with our defense priorities, our infrastructure, and, you know, there's known costs, and you can get it now. So that works well when you're trying to avoid a capability gap. If you're looking at an option that's, you know, still a ways away, it's developmental, we still don't totally understand the costs, and, you know, there's some big question marks floating around over it, and you're waiting for that to mature, while you're waiting, you're risking that gap growing. So with regard to what this article is suggesting, although, like I said, I stress there's been no decision made, the Super Hornet as a potential choice, it would fit very quickly and seamlessly into what we're doing already.
Now, the opposition in Question Period yesterday said this was all being rushed. What's your rebuttal?
Well, it's not being rushed. I mean, the program, the process has been managed for a decade by the other party, and their inaction, or, you know, they were going down a road that, in my opinion, obviously was not working out all that well, and instead of maybe changing course or doing something to mitigate that, they just sat on their hands and did nothing. And doing nothing is actually doing something, right? And it's growing that operational capability gap by sitting in your hands and waiting to make a decision or changing course because of the original decision that you thought made sense 5 or 6 years ago may not make sense now. That's not helping. That's actually hurting us.
Do you know when there might be a decision on either the Super Hornet or some other airplane that might fill this gap between what we've got now and what we might have in the future, F-35s or something else? You know, when that decision will come?
I don't have a date for you, but I can tell you that it's in the minister's mandate letter to get it done, this mandate. I can tell you that, you know, at CANSEC, which is a security and defense conference that was here a week ago and some other things in the media, I mean, the government, including the minister, is interested in getting on with this process. Again, the gap is what's important here. We have commitments, we have sovereignty issues that we need to be concerned about, and we also have commitments to our partners like NORAD and NATO, and we said we'd deliver this type of capability to them. And if we don't do something about that soon, that gap will be there, and that's not being a responsible neighbor.
I know you say that there's no decision on Super Hornets yet, but do we know how much? You said the costs are known of these airplanes. Do you know how much they are?
You know what? I'd have to. The costs are known from the sense that if we get into serious negotiations with pretty much everyone except for the F-35 option, the cost, the capital cost of acquisition, the operational costs, the job share, all that kind of stuff will be known. You will know what you're getting and what you're paying for at the time you put your pen on the paper. The F-35 option, those are not well understood, and they're not well known at this point. And it may be a while before you know. You'll pay for the jet essentially what it costs the time it rolls off the production line. And if production's slow or it gets hung up and there's technical problems, you might pay more than you thought. So there's risk there. There's financial risk and there's technical risk, and it's high.
Have you flown one of these airplanes?
Which one?
The Super Hornet.
I have not flown the Super Hornet. I flew the Legacy Hornet. The Super Hornet is it looks the same. It's 25% bigger than the regular Hornet. So when you just have a quick snapshot on it, it looks very similar, but it's a bigger airplane. It's got better range. It's a more improved, more mature version of what we had with, you know, tons of growth. And the U.S. Navy flies nearly 700 of these things. So interoperability, supportability into the future is virtually guaranteed because the U.S. Navy is the fourth biggest air force on the planet. They're expeditionary. They're everywhere. And by virtue of the fact that they operate this airplane, it'll ensure that anybody else who does, which is the only other country is Australia, and whoever else buys in, I'm not sure, like I said, no decision's been made, but if Canada did, it wouldn't really have to worry about too much about the future because the Navy, being as big and operating as many airplanes, will ensure that the airplane's relevant.
Are they fun to fly?
They're amazing. I'm assuming this one will fly similar to the other one. Yeah, I mean, you're so busy in the airplane that there's very, very few times that you can kind of sit back and really soak in what it is that you're doing and how cool it is. But there you do get the odd moment that you cherish. Other than that, it is, a million different things you're managing in your head, your wingmen, the target, the weapons, your gas, a whole bunch of things, and you really don't have time to sit back and enjoy it all that much. And the times that you do are precious, so when that happens, it's pretty magical.
Steve, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much.